Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't like you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing. Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We got a lot of gentlemen's clubs. How do you like those? Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Yeah. All right, it's hour two of this fine radio broadcast. If you miss anything from hour one, first of all, shame on you.
What's wrong with you?
But second, so you can listen to the podcast, just go to 1080thefan.com. That is all brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. You can stream it. You can download it. Take it on an airplane with you. You can listen to it in a boat, on a bicycle, scooter, trike.
Ooh. Scooter, you might want to concentrate more on the scooting.
No, just put your headphones in, bud. The thing about the old podcast, you just get your iPod and then queue it up on there. You can download it to your iPod. Download it to your personal computer, and then transfer it over to your iPod, or your Zune, and then you can just scoot around on it. You can download it, convert it to a cassette, put it in your Walkman, burn it to a CDR, throw it in your Discman, whatever you got to do, man.
Do they still sell iPods? Apple,
ooh.
I mean.
Well. Yes, people resell them. I don't know. Yeah. Remember they used to have the iPod vending machines where you can go and buy an iPod in a vending machine? That's how popular they were?
Well, they still have that at airports, actually, with electronics. And it's really smart because if you're somebody that makes an S ton of money and travels a lot, I'm sure sometimes stuff you have breaks and you just, you know, buy new headphones.
Yeah, but the stupid part about it is why don't they also sell the candy that you get from vending machines? Like you could buy, you know, your new headphones and a Kit Kat.
I think if you're making that much money, you're a little higher than Kit Kats. Like you're eating
fancy candies. What's the problem with a Kit Kat?
It's a lower candy.
Whew, lower than what? You're talking like Dove milk chocolate or something fancy pants like that?
Those Ghirardelli.
Ooh, Ghirardelli. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fine chocolate vending machine.
Those are the fancy people. And now I'm on Apple's website, and I do not see on their quick tab menu anything that says iPod.
Yeah, I'm guessing if they're still making it, which they're not, it's not going to be
requiring
a quick tab. Yeah. Well, no, because if you need an iPod, what you do is you go, hey, you got a new iPhone. Did you turn the other one in, or can I just take the not hook it up to the cell service?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's streaming now. I remember back even in like 2012 when I was still using BitTorrent to like download albums.
Yeah. I was right on the Napster cusp. Dial up on AOL and then Napster it.
Did you Napster pretty hard back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bro. I was pretty hardcore Napster. It was right after I graduated from high school. So we kind of lived in, we called it the animal house. It was actually the house that I grew up in. My mom bought a new house, so we had a bunch of roommates and stuff. We just had a room that was set up for Napster, and we had it basically set up so people could go in, steal all their music, and then their other images.
Oh, hold on a second. You had a room set up
just
for
set
Napster?
Set up for Napster.
What was in it?
What do you mean? Computer and trouble. And
it was just a room with a desk and a computer.
That's exactly what it was.
You didn't use it for anything else?
Just Napster. Napster specific room in the house.
Well, now let me ask this because I think you're lying. I think there's more to this.
What do you mean?
I think there was also Kazaa on that computer.
Well, It eventually got Kazaa and LimeWire, but originally it was
and
just
then it turned into Porn Room, didn't it?
Well, listen, you could also get, yes, other things.
Yes, it was
those
Porn
services.
Room. Yeah, it was that's definitely what I'm saying. Porn
It room. Was the computer room, and it was, listen, if the door was shut, you didn't go in.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I'm thinking. That is a
that's
depressing
accurate.
Scene.
Why? Because you didn't have one?
Any windows in that room?
Yeah, but they were blackout curtains on them. You never knew if it was night or day.
You just get warped.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Listen, we were on the, you know, the cusp of dawning technology, and the internet was, you know, connecting us with people and things and images and sounds, and it was a whole sensory experience. You just locked yourself in the black room, and, you know, things went dark.
I'm fucking
I mean.
Locked in here. I'm downloading the new Radiohead album while watching Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on over here.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was a cultural and technological revolution combining as one. I don't know what's weird about that.
55305, people are already responding. They remember the LimeWire.
Yeah. LimeWire was a thing. Yeah, totally a thing.
I remember when Kanye West came out and he had Through the Wire, and I kept trying to download it on LimeWire.
Sure.
But it kept being these people that would record themselves doing renditions of it. And so I remember one day just spending like a good 2 hours just trying to find the actual version of it, but it was people and their own recordings yeah. of Through the Wire.
Yeah. And well, that was pre-YouTube, you know, it was before people were in, had the access to make their own garbage. So they had to sneak it on there. Yeah. LimeWire was pretty bad for getting not the real version of what you're looking for on a lot of things. All right. You want your over-unders right here?
Over-under on Napster?
NBA. I've got the list.
Don't knock on the door. Luke's in there.
Don't knock on the door. Somebody's in there, and it's not good.
Sounds like a ceiling fan's going really quick.
That's right.
The hell?
Well, listen, you got to stay cool. We didn't have central AC. You got to turn on the ceiling fan.
All I hear are the Bodines and a ceiling fan.
Who is the NBA team expected to win the most games based on the Vegas over-unders?
Could I answer, I don't care?
Really?
Or do I have to answer it?
You can answer, I don't care.
Okay, I don't care.
Really?
Yeah. Because it doesn't matter.
Well, I understand that it doesn't matter. What else do you want to talk about? You want to go back to training camp? We're going to do that in a little bit.
Well, we could talk about the whole Urban Meyer photo situation.
Yeah. Rather not, since you kind of made that up.
I did make it up.
Really? Tell one more time. Tell me the story and source it, please.
Okay, here's the thing. And we'll go over this just very quickly so we can move on to the yeah. Vegas lines.
Just go ahead and shut the door.
Okay, here we go.
Turn on the ceiling fan.
So, Urban Meyer had this whole text message exchange with, what's his name, Zach Smith?
All of Urban Meyer's text messages were released from the investigation around the Zach Smith, was he covering up the domestic violence, yes or no? Did he know what he knew when he said he knew what he knew?
Okay, so I'm basically just asking a very basic question, which sure. is this. How many of the text messages between Zach Smith and Urban Meyer were pictures of each other's members?
Yeah.
Over, under, three.
And I said under.
And I said over.
Sure. Okay. So are we done? Yes. So I'll drink a coffee there. All right. So you don't care about the NBA.
Okay. So what? I don't know. The Lakers.
Bucks.
Oh, Bucks. Yeah.
So the Blazers, this is what you do care about, I assume, right? So the Blazers over under 46 and a half games.
Sounds about right.
Okay. Here are the teams ahead of the Blazers, and this is where my curiosity lies. Pacers 47 and a half, Warriors 49 and a half, Lakers 49 and a half, Celtics 49 and a half, Nuggets 52 and a half, Rockets 54 and a half, Jazz 54 and a half, Clippers 54 and a half, Sixers, Bucks, 55 and 58 respectively.
Only one I have a problem with is the Jazz. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got six Western Conference teams ahead of the Blazers right now. That means that they would finish seventh in the West. That seems a little low to me from that perspective.
It seems low from that perspective. But again, that's why this is kind of a futile practice, because we don't know anything about these teams as we go along, right? Yeah. I think the biggest factor you have to take in why I just don't pay attention to Vegas lines. I think sure. they're stupid, because they literally take out the biggest factor of the NBA season, which is injuries.
Yeah.
That's it. They don't take into consideration injuries. If Russell Westbrook gets hurt, like season-ending injury in the first 10 games of the season, the Houston Rockets will barely make the playoffs, if even.
Yeah, but this is just, it's just a measurement for what the perspective is. Because in Portland, we look at the moves that the Blazers made, and I think most people generally say Neil O'Shea did a good job putting together a team that can go out and hopefully improve on what they did next year. Now, does that mean having a better regular season record? Does that mean being more competitive in the playoffs against a team, you know, that's better than they are, clearly, like Golden State was? Or does that mean making it to the NBA Finals? I don't know. Of course we don't know, because, like you said, injuries, there's just too many factors. Part of it, last year, had the Blazers not won that final game. If Anthony Simons didn't go off for 37, the Blazers then become the four seed and play the Warriors in round two, which means they never make the Western Conference Finals, we assume, right? So there's all of these factors that play into it, but it's just kind of a fun way to look at it and go, all right, did the Blazers get better? And it seems to be, based on this, that the consensus is no, they did not, from a national perspective.
Sure. And I guess that's what kind of bothers me the most about Vegas lines, is really a lot of the times when they bet on certain teams or, you know, certain circumstances, it's to basically load the money somewhere else.
Yeah, and so it's true.
I think there's this real kind of disconnect between people using Vegas lines to make genuine predictions that then spurs conversation like this, and then just understanding it like you and I do, which is, you're just doing this so that you can load money onto the Lakers.
It's very true.
I mean, if this is a gambling show, okay, we can talk about that. Well, we can extrapolate on it. But this is a show where, and I think this is 1080 The Fan is a station where you talk about and you discuss sports and you try to have interaction with the fans. That's why I don't like Vegas and gambling lines really for sports, because now you turn it into numbers. And if we take a look at, as you know, we're going to talk about baseball here in the next segment. If you turn a sport into pure statistics, it becomes boring. Yeah. It just does. It really does. Because then you have teams like the A's who go on these really long winning streaks, and you have a bunch of no-name face guys who basically don't want to have personalities and they don't want to put it out there. So we don't care.
No-name faces?
No-name faces. When I take a look at Gordon Hayward, I know that's Gordon Hayward.
Well, I'll tell you what. The other reason I wanted to bring up the Vegas lines, and again, you're exactly right. This is just a point to start a conversation. That 46.5 number, would you like to hear the other team that's at 46.5?
I think it's the Magic.
It's the Toronto Raptors.
Damn.
Who are the new Magic of the East.
I always fail whenever I guess the Magic on anything.
I know that you love that. The Magic sit at 41.5.
Damn.
But yeah, 46.5. Blazers, Raptors, Spurs. And that's all from the Westgate.
Can you name one player on the Raptors right now, except Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, Mark Gasol resigned.
Didn't we get Mark Gasol?
No, we got Pau Gasol.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and Pascal Siakam.
Get those two mixed up.
They're brothers.
That what?
All right, we're moving on, because you actually brought up a good point about baseball. Analytics. Good job. But there were some interesting things that happened in the week that is baseball. We had the trade deadline. One team got really, really, really good. And it could be bad for baseball. But there was also a really fun game between the Phillies, something that very rarely happened in the Phillies game last night. So we'll talk about that and a few other things. Also, some hops getting promoted. So we'll get into all that with Jen Ellis, our baseball insider. We do that next right here on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back. We've got Jen Ellis with us, baseball insider. The appropriate amount of applause from the studio audience. Thank you very much, everyone.
You look great today.
So Jen Ellis is the ballpark MC at the Hillsboro Hops. She's also a huge baseball fan, and she's one of our favorite coworkers here at Entercom Portland.
That's nice of you to say. Well, in front of my face.
Yeah. Well, the things we say behind your back are much nicer, but we can't say them to you face to face.
Because then I'll get a big head. Yeah.
But we do need to talk to you about something, though. Yes. You've been our baseball insider all year since I think the week before the opening game. I don't know how to bring this up, Will, necessarily, but maybe we should just play the clip. But it's about your passion. This is a young man talking about the trade deadline. And just see if we can tell the difference between that you talk about it and the way he's talking about it.
Okay. I am not having a good day.
Just wait for it.
Not even a little bit. I am not having a good time. Tim Kutchin is having a good day. Laughing at me somewhere. I'm sure Buster Olney is having a good day. Laughing at me somewhere. I'm sure Rick Sutcliffe is having a good day. Laughing at me somewhere. But I am not laughing. I'm pretty ticked off.
That's how Stephen A. Smith got ready to talk about the Yankees trade deadline.
Okay.
Jen, we need a little more passion from you. Okay. You have not yelled at either of us about either of us. You've not yelled about the A's.
Well.
We love you, but you're no Stephen A.
Well,
Smith.
I don't think Jen is hot take woman. I think she's even keel, like giving good analysis.
Solid information.
Yes. I think that's why we brought her on. We didn't want Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, okay.
I'll work on it. That's some good notes.
Jen A. Smith.
Jen A. Smith. Jen A. What's your thought on Will's hot take on baseball? That the numbers have ruined the game, huh?
No. Well, you know, and he's so funny, too, because the way he says, oh, there are no stars, or there are, you know, faceless, nameless, whatever you said. But there is so much drama in baseball. I mean, you know, not just the bench clearing brawls and those kind of things, which are really fun to see and exciting, because there's just, you know, some of the players are just not even really taking it very seriously. There was like a quote unquote bench clearing brawl at the Hops a couple of weeks ago.
What was it really?
But it wasn't a brawl at all. It was, you know, it was just like these guys were like, hey, let's just do something fun and, you know, run out and like, you know, everybody was kind of like, what's going on? What's going on? And two of the players were kind of like shoving each other and laughing. And, you know, nobody really got in a fight. But, you know, I mean, you see the fight happen this week and it's...
Oh, the Reds and Pirates is what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's exciting to see. But you know, I mean, it's... I watch the A's all the time and I get to know the characters, quote unquote. Yep. And you get to see, you know, different stories about them and them going out into the community and then them, you know, getting in fights with certain pitchers that, you know, Mark Canna hit a home run off of a guy on the Rangers back in July. And he just kind of watched it and kind of flipped his bat and the pitcher got really pissed off and he's like, you run, you know, and he's, you know, and then same thing. He hit him with a pitch when they were in Oakland last week. And Canna hits the home run again and just watches it. And they, you know, screaming at him. He's just chasing him down the base paths, you know. And it's like those kinds of things are fun to see. And you get to know the players. And you get invested. You know?
That's a big difference between having a hometown team and not. Because we know all the storylines with the Blazers because we get to see them every day.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, the Blazers, you know, from Damian Lillard to the last guy on the bench. We knew who Anthony Simon was before he came into that final game, but the rest of the country goes,
huh?
Who is this dude?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how you get with your baseball team. Will, you had something to say. Sorry.
I was going to say, again, the whole brawl between, you know, the Reds and all that, I think, again, it's not so much about I want to see more of that. It's I want to see that kind of energy. Like, I want to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see something in between Bautista's bat flip and that ball on a consistent basis.
The thing is, it happens. It doesn't make the highlights. And it happens in the Mark Canna instance that you were talking about. Yeah. And I think once, hopefully, when Portland gets a baseball team, you're going to be able to see that. And that's something that, I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, I've never really had that where you're completely invested in a hometown team. Now, I grew up a Dodgers fan. My initials are LA.
Sure, yeah.
When I lived in LA, I certainly kept a little bit closer to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Actually, when I lived in Vegas, I was even closer to the Dodgers because I always went to the Area 51's games, which was their farm system. But having a hometown team, and you have been one of the, you know, you're one of the people that lived in the Bay Area long enough that you know, you're able to keep your team.
Yep.
But even as the years go on, if they go through a slide, the Mariners are that way for me right now. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to have any interest on a day-to-day basis with a team that is that bad. And 3.5 hours removed. If I was still in Seattle,
and you're
every day you're watching this team going, all right, well, who are these young guys?
Because all the trades just happen and you know, there's some new guys coming up and it's exciting to see that kind of stuff too.
So, speaking of trades, the evil empire in baseball may be shifting to Texas.
I know, which is, you know, it kind of makes me sad a little bit because I see people say, you know, comparing them to the Yankees.
And we're talking about the Houston Astros for anybody that missed it. So,
by the way, yeah, they just made some monster trades. So that was kind of cool to see. But also it's like, oh, boy, are they going to be like the force to be reckoned with now? Or is it just going to be one of those things where it fizzles and nothing happens?
Well, you already have Justin Verlander. Yeah, exactly. You have Garrett Cole, who's in the running for the Cy Young this year. Yeah,
exactly.
And they added Zach Greinke. Who's
some guy named Zach Greinke. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, and but, he still has a couple years left on his contract, too. Yeah. So it's not like he's a rental for this year to make a push. So you've got one of the best batting lineups in baseball. You have a ballpark that is conducive to hit as many home runs as you can.
And now have three catchers. and this is just like the active roster, not the roster that expands.
Yes. Well, so as an A's fan, the A's are a team that, is making their, annual run towards a playoff spot, even though they don't have anybody that should they don't have the pieces that should be doing it. They start slow. But here they are making their run and now a team in their division who's been really good and already has a World Series under their belt with this cast of characters goes out and makes themselves that much better. Baseball's in a spot right now where there's a lot of have and have nots. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this being that team that's kind of next in line?
Yeah,
in the
because
division?
We've said it before, not too long ago, the Astros couldn't buy a win and they were freaking terrible, and it's like to watch them go from, being such crap and then becoming, like you said,
a juggernaut.
Yeah, exactly. It's really scary just looking at their lineup. It's like, oh my gosh. And just when you think, it's like, oh, well, in the first inning, the A's hit a home run off of Justin Verlander. So we have a 1-0 lead, but no, that's it. And then you lose 10-1. It's like, ah, man. Yeah, they're really, I'm just looking at their roster and it's like, holy crap. That guy. And then they added two other pitchers too that are not too terrible either.
Well, so. Aaron Sanchez has been pretty terrible.
Well,
this
he has been. And the A's added three pitchers. So the A's got Tanner Roark from the Reds. He used to be with the Nationals. And he's a pretty good starting pitcher. So he's going into our rotation and there's just to see all these guys come in, it's like, well, that guy used to suck, but now he's actually kind of showing a little bit more of what the A's saw in him to begin with.
Well, but you see it a lot of times too, with just a change of scenery can often, help a guy. I mean, Aaron Sanchez, I think, set the Blue Jays record for the most consecutive losses in starts this season, but now you're playing with a completely different lineup.
Yeah.
And you're also warming up around guys like Justin Verlander, Garrett Cole.
Yeah, exactly.
Greinke.
And they
it
all
want to
make
difference.
Each other better. Yeah.
Mike Fiers did this a couple years ago when he went to Oakland, if I'm not wrong, where he just came in and was unstoppable. I mean, he was an absolute machine when he came out there, and I don't think he was having all that great of a year.
No.
But you just go into a different scenario, and it makes such a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
For baseball.
Yeah,
so.
and Fiers in offseason, he was in free agency, and he chose to go back to the A's, and he was like, yeah, this is the great atmosphere.
Yeah.
And having that, veteran leadership and the in the clubhouse is great for those young guys that are like, oh, wow, oh, my gosh, this is fun.
Yeah. So two exciting things with the Hops this week. So one, you got to you didn't get to meet Randy Johnson, but what did you get to do for?
But I did get to handle his balls.
That's pretty good.
So
and you've got Will's attention.
Will just
perked up. Will was in his baseball coma.
So we had a box of signed balls by Randy Johnson that we were giving out throughout the game. And there was this little kid and I got to do the game in between innings and have him win a prize. And usually it's just like a cup of ice cream that's melted while we're waiting for the inning to end, But so I'm talking to the kid in the tunnel before we go out onto the field. And I was like, so what, did you get any Hop signatures today? And he's like, no, I really wanted to get Randy Johnson's signature, but you guys are giving him away. And that's like 1 in 10,000. I'm never going to get that, And it was really cute.
And then
so
you're just
sweet.
Playing dumb.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, that's probably going to be really tough to get. And then we go out on the field and we do the little Safeway shuffle where the ball gets shuffled around under the hats. And he's like, it's under number one. And his eyes are all big. And, he still doesn't know what prize he's getting.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. And they reveal it's under number one. And I said, so what was it that you wanted today? A Randy Johnson signed ball? And he's like, yeah. And you know, my quote unquote assistant hands me the ball, you know, and I handed it to him. And just the look on his face was just pure joy. It was so sweet. It was adorable. It was like, oh, my God, that kid's never going to forget that memory.
Yeah.
And he just grabbed the ball and ran to go show his friend. It was really awesome.
Pretty cool.
That was fun. But, yeah, I got to see Randy Johnson, you know, up close, which is, you know, I mean, he's 6'10". It's kind of hard to miss him. He was standing like on the, his feet were on the bottom part of the dugout, and he was still head tall with everybody that was standing on the top step.
See, to give you a new perspective on the intimidation factor that Randy Johnson
had. And now,
they
call
it the Randy Johnson flu that people would get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just went out like wearing a polo and jeans. You know, he's just very casual.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just kind of lobbed the ball. He didn't even really, like, you know, throw it real hard. And then he chucked it into the audience for somebody to catch, you know. And it was just, it was cool to see. And it's like, you know, everybody knows who he is. And it's kind of neat, you know, like they posted it on social media that he was going to be there. So I think the whole crowd showed up to see him. And then a baseball game happened afterwards. It was really fun. It was a great crowd that night. And, it was fun. I got to, you know, I feel like now I can throw a perfect game after I held that ball.
That's pretty good. A couple hops are moving up.
Yeah. We had some promotions. A couple of guys are headed to the next level up.
Moving up to double A?
No, it's still class A, but it's not the short season.
Cool.
It's in Illinois. They're Kane County Cougars now. So three of our guys. And then the All-Star game is next week, and four Hops players are in the All-Star game.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, go check out a Hops games. Go visit our friend Jen Ellis.
All weekend long, we're doing Salute to Service weekend. Really great, awesome memories.
Cool.
Come on out.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Jen. Always a pleasure to have you join us for this.
Thank you.
I hit the wrong button.
I know. I totally heard that it was different than the applause. All right, when we get back, a couple other small news and notes from around the NFL getting ready for kickoff.
Well, and you're burying the lead because we have some Ed Orgeron sound.
We do have Ed Orgeron sound, and we also have a poll question that we need to get to results on. So we have all kinds of stuff right after the news. Welcome back. Big thanks to Jen Ellis for joining us to talk a little bit of baseball. She got to handle Randy Johnson's balls.
I had to just really deep down hold the urge to ask, were they hairy?
Well, you didn't suppress that urge long enough. We're still in the air.
Oh.
Oops. Hey, we were talking about this earlier in the show, so we had to put up a poll question. Want to get to the results for you because I think this is a very important question around sports that we wanted to get answered, and I appreciate everybody that participated. At CenterSaint1080 on Twitter, there's a poll question up. Will, what is our poll question?
Okay, so our poll question is, what kind of beer would JC drink? And we're talking about the guy...
Jesus. You're talking about Jesus.
Yes.
There's a country song, I want to have a beer with Jesus, or something like that.
15% said Allagash White.
Yeah, it's good beer.
18% said Boilermaker.
Okay.
30% said Rolling Rock, but overwhelmingly 37% said Budweiser.
I think Allagash White is like one of those quintessential hipster beers, a little more California hipster beer, even though it's Portland, Maine, I think is where it's from. Anyways, doesn't matter. Anyways, I think he's drinking hipster beer.
I don't.
No?
I don't think that JC follows trends.
So the reason this came up is Will Darkins, after going to Wolfstock, is now a country music fan. So
we're just trying
to get him built in to the culture.
Massive.
Yeah, I know.
All I do is just listen to country in my Prius.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you do.
One of Chris Jansen's songs is Buy Me a Boat.
That's a pretty good one. Is there a Prius out there with big tires on it anywhere in this country?
You'd hope. Here's the hard part. You'd have to customize the Prius because the frame surrounding the tire is quite small.
Yeah.
It's a small circumference, so really you
have to put a lift kit on your Prius.
Yeah, but you're constrained in. I mean, you'd really have to lift that damn thing.
I'm just curious.
Really high.
Maybe we'll scan the interwebs for lifted Prius pictures.
Plus, it would screw you out of your gas mileage. You're 52 on the highway.
Whew. I'd be curious about that. I need to find a lifted Prius. I think that would be delightful. I'm sure there's some slammed ones.
Do you think he can handle all that attention from women coming
to
you? I
don't know. I'm just saying, with the new belt buckle that you ordered on Amazon this morning, you're going to need to lift your Prius to keep your street cred.
Yeah.
Or your dirt road cred. Is that what they call it? I don't know how country music works. Your dirt road cred.
Let me say this. I did go to Wolfstock, and I was trying to find parking, and they wanted to charge you $10. I was like, I'm not paying $10 for parking. Screw that. So I drove a little bit over, and there's a TriMet parking lot, and they had a sign up.
It said no country parking.
No event parking.
Yeah. But you're like, dude, I'm in a Prius.
That is exactly what I thought. I go, no one's going to suspect this.
No one will know that this Prius driver walked over to Wolfstock.
And guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah. No one knew.
Yeah. There are a bunch of trucks parked around that got towed.
Yeah, if it was like a truck with like two American flags on either side.
With truck nuts on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting profiled. Me? They were like, oh no, he just parked, went on the Max to Powell's and spent 3 hours drinking coffee and reading.
All right. Well, we have some sound we need to play for you. It's from a college and a college football head coach, Division I, great school. This more than any other quote, I think, sums up why college football is so popular in this country. Just listen to the words that he chooses.
And this was at a booster event, by the way.
This was at a booster event, but just we're professional orators. We come on here and we try to sum up what college football means to so many people and why it means so much. And a never more eloquent a definition of what college football means. Here it is.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't have ever got past number one.
Wait, what?
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't have ever got past number one.
You could put...
What?
You could put a gun to my head, and I would be dead if you asked me. You have to translate this.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't have ever got past number one.
That is Ed Ogeron of LSU, obviously, at a booster event. The crazy thing is, how do people, like, everybody in the audience is in on the joke. They know exactly what he's saying. Is there a visual aid behind him when he's giving off this speech?
No.
One more time.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
Something about glad roof.
Pass number one. He says pass number one at the end, right?
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
Number one is the only legible thing from that.
When I got published by Simon & Schuster, I never knew I'd make it to number one.
That's it.
Okay.
That's exactly.
Did he get published?
How the hell did we not think of that before?
Does he have a book?
Could you imagine Ed Orgeron's book? And it was all just mumbo jumbo.
Just consonants.
Yeah. Just mumbo jumbo, the whole book.
Why you can watch that? No, that kid is a meat eater, but they do like the marshmallows.
It's for fire until we won the game. And then mama slapped me.
Could you imagine if he'd have been the head coach of USC? So he's at USC, and he was the interim head coach, and they ended up not extending the job. Could you imagine that line? So that's at an LSU booster event. Everybody got the joke. You imagine him delivering the exact same line at a USC booster event and then just crickets?
Well, let me ask you this. Would that have been any worse than let's effing fight on? Because that's who got hired over him.
I know that.
And I'm glad you didn't have that Ralph or Salafusha wouldn't have ever got past number one.
I mean, all of Louisiana's right in on that joke, and we're just sitting here going,
yeah, you gotta go on Fusha as the number one.
We're not gonna time for some shoot. I didn't think I'd make it number one.
Ah! Yeah, you know, the whole Ed Orgeron thing, I kind of think it would have all gone up in flames because that's SC. Actually, Andrew Nimick and I were talking about this on his recruiting show on Thursday about the whole idea that, like, you can't, like, SC can't figure out its identity because it hired Clay Helton doing the quote-unquote players hire, right?
Yeah.
All the players really like Clay Helton in his interim season, so they go, let's listen to the players, let's hire him. Well, they suck now.
Yeah.
And they keep shooting for the stars with dudes like Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian because they want some of that glory from Pete.
Yep.
And they can't figure it out.
Nope.
And I think if they hired Ed Orgeron, we'd be right where we were.
Yeah.
I really do.
I don't know. It's just I think it might not be that easy to win in college football when, oh, you have Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney just sitting at the top. So there's a lot of teams middling around. What do you got there? You're chucking.
P1 Ryan, better you today, text sign 55305. He's talking about a raffle at some high school.
Is that true? I don't know.
And I'm glad you didn't have that raffle. Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
I did hear raffle in there.
Yeah. Salafusha? I hear a Salafusha in there.
Something about, hey, whoever won this raffle for the fuchsia blank, whatever the prize was, you're number one.
I don't know. But why is there laughing? Why is it funny?
And I'm glad you didn't have that raffle. Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
Okay. Ed Ogeron is wonderful. We'll tell you what to watch. We'll do it next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Which is the most exciting matchup in the field of competition? Which game will leave you kicking yourself if you miss it? Which channel should you switch to when the sporting day is gone? Welcome to America's most exciting sports talk radio show segment. It's time for What to Watch. Presented by Encore Audio Video. Now hear this. Whether you're looking for a new TV or a custom home theater, start at Encore's showroom at 14th and Everett in the Pearl. Now our expert panel, avid television viewer Will Darkins, and increasingly out-of-touch father of twin girls, Luke Anderson, are here to tell you what to watch. Literally, it's What to Watch on The Sinner and the Saint. On 1080 The Fan.
Salafusha. I think we're sticking with that. Somebody agreed on the Better You Today text line.
Salafusha.
Somebody else said,
I'm glad you didn't have that raffle. Salafusha wouldn't ever got past number one.
So we got Salafusha, raffle, and number one.
So somebody said Ed can't go with Simon and Schuster. He's Harper Collins all the way. It's not Simon and Schuster. It's not talking about his book. I would read Ed Ogeron's book. I imagine there'd be pictures.
Would you? Seriously, I guess the better question, could you?
Be a pamphlet?
It would literally be like a, who was that? Oh, hell, the guy who wrote Ulysses.
Ooh.
Why am I blanking on that?
I don't know.
That book, Finnegan's Wake. Actually, look at Finnegan's Wake. Just open it up. That's what Ed Ogeron sounds like. It's literally mumbles.
Yeah, I thought it'd be like Harry Potter where you're just going, I don't know how to pronounce this or what it is, but maybe we'll find out later in the book. Anyways, all right. We are 28 days, 5 hours, 38 minutes, and 35 seconds away from kickoff for the Ducks at Jerry World against Auburn. Count that as the official kickoff to football season here. Do your Beavs play the night before?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Then perfect. We'll count that as the official kickoff. That'll certainly get us launched into college football season. That morning, we'll be tailgating hard here in Portland, getting ready for that game.
Yeah, that'll be when this show changes its tenor.
No, we're going to keep our tenor. We're just going to be football focused.
Yeah, it's going to change tenor. We can't talk about Zach Smith and Urban Meyer techs.
Unless, hey, maybe something comes up. Maybe your hypothesis comes out and they release the picks.
Oh, my God. I hope. Oh, oh, I hope.
So, in the meantime, we're that far away, 28 days away from the official kickoff to football mania here in Portland. What are you watching this weekend while we're waiting for that?
In sports?
In sports.
I don't know. Is there anything? I don't know what to watch in sports this weekend. Is there bowling on ESPN?
Yeah, I think there is. I think the PBA, the pro bowlers, not pro bowl riders, not to be confused. Pro bowling.
Well, you got yourself some... All right, the... Oh, it's the X Games.
Oh, the X Games are on.
There's also Little League softball on all day.
Little League softball.
So I could just get myself into my Napster room and just watch
Yeah.
sports all day.
Well, that's pretty good. That's a good idea. I am not going to pretend that I'm going to watch any sports. I'm going to use this moment here to let you guys know about a programming note. So Will and I both off next weekend. We're sorry. I don't know what they're doing. I don't really care what they're doing.
Well, this is the first step in firing us.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I didn't. We took both took like a weekend off. And
well,
like,
we didn't take it. You know what happened. He basically said, hey, you guys have been working hard. Why don't you take the weekend off?
Wow, I thought he's being nice.
Yeah, I did too. But yeah, I went back and thought about it again. And I was like, yeah, they're going to fire us.
That's pretty good. But yeah, so we won't be here next weekend. But after that, we're going to be really getting into the nitty gritty. We'll be well into NFL preseason.
Can I tell you what I'm going to watch outside of sports?
Please. This is real quick before you do.
Yeah.
This segment brought to you by Encore Audio Video. If you want to upgrade your home theater, home automation, anything of that nature, the best place to start is the Encore Audio Video Showroom. It's at 14th and Everett in the Pearl, conveniently located for everyone in the metro. What are you watching outside of sports?
Okay, so every single night I come home on Saturdays.
Every single Saturday night. You come home.
That's what I said. Exactly what I said.
Okay.
They have Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network.
Okay.
It is a staple of weekend nights.
Yeah. It's a wonderful show.
I'm going to watch it.
Can you eat any of the food that's on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives?
Yeah, because they have like taco bar or fish taco bars and stuff like that. How awkward would it be to have Guy Fieri just eating your restaurant's food? In front of you. Like, think about, have you ever watched the parts where like he's actually chomping down on whatever it is they got? And he just has like this face that makes it look like he has either seen a spirit or he's having some type of sexual delight.
Yeah. He takes the bite and then, but he does it while his mouth is full of the food. And then he looks at the guy, makes the sex eyes at him. And then it has to chew it up because he takes way too big a bite. Never takes like a little bite.
No.
And so then he has to, and then he like takes like three chews and then just like opens up his neck and the whole thing swallows down.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I thought this would be good, but I can't believe how good it is.
This right here, brother.
Brother.
It's this. It's. Like. That's awkward. If I'm sitting there, I don't know what to do with myself when Guy Fieri is chomping down on my veggie burger, veggie burger stand I have in Dallas, Texas.
So that, really? You opened your veggie burger stand in Dallas?
Let me tell you something. I cornered the market there.
I bet you did.
It's like, that is literally what Guy Fieri sounds and looks like.
That is what you're going to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Works for me.
I'm going to watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. What? You got a problem with that?
I don't. I think that's fantastic. You do have Red Sox Yankees this weekend.
Oh, great.
If you want that.
Oh, cool. Hey, if you're interested in baseball, which, by the way, I know you're not.
No, I'm saying to the listeners.
Oh,
not specifically to you.
I thought you were telling me that.
We're about a month away from baseball getting really good. That's one of the bummers is baseball gets really good when football starts. But all right, big thanks to Jen Ellis, Will Darkins, everybody for listening. We had fun. Hope you have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.